I have a pounding headache, you guys, but we're going to pretend I don't. That's my new strategy.
That's the only way to get like, through it.
Will it away. Anyway.
You should go put that ice mask on and just...
I thought about it and I was like, I can't put it on until the podcast is over. So Kara was really nice and got me this like compression thing.
It's amazing.
She got herself one. She got me one. And they're like, you put it in the freezer and then it like slips over your head. It's amazing.
It's so good.
So I'm going to put it on.
It's so chilly at first and you're like, I don't know if I can do it. But then you're like, oh, I can do this. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, those are the things I like that I used to have. Yeah. They're like mentholated patches that you like stick on your head. It looks like you're wearing a maxi pad stuck to your forehead.
Right.
But it helps and it feels cold and great.
Yeah.
Hi, this is the Witch's Magic Murder and Mystery podcast.
Yeah. And I'm Kara.
And I'm Megan.
Hey.
So.
Yeah.
It's Friday.
It is. I don't know why I've been doing gruesome ones lately. Oh, and this one's really bad. Once I got to a certain point, I was like, oh, I'm in too deep to quit. I have to do this. But oof.
We always get people who are like, you didn't give us a trigger warning. So I'm just telling you now, I haven't heard the story yet, but really, honestly, you should probably consider just a blanket trigger warning.
Right. Anything.
And then if there's not anything gross, what a pleasant surprise.
Right. Okay. I'm doing it on Dennis Andrew Nilsson. He was referred to as the British Jeffrey Dahmer.
Oh. Mm-hmm. But you didn't know this was going to be gruesome.
Yeah, I did.
That's your first sentence.
Yeah, you know how like you copy things from things and you edit them and like make them your own. Well, that was like one of the last things I pulled from, and then I put it up at the top. Yeah, so I didn't know that while I started. He was born in November 23rd, 1945. He's the son of a Norwegian soldier. His mom's name was Betty White. W-H-Y-T-E. They were a very strict household, of course, because what murderer doesn't start in a household like that? He grew up in a small fishing village in Scotland. His dad didn't really give a shit about the family. He spent a lot of his time going and doing other things and drinking and just like. It just got to be too much. He had a six-year-old at home, and he was like, that's a lot to handle. Dennis started spending lots and lots of time with his grandfather, and he was, like, obsessed with Grandfather Andrew.
Aww.
His grandfather was, like, super strict, but he was, like, a super proud old guy. So Dennis was like, this is my role model.
Yeah.
This is amazing. His grandpa would sit there and, like, tell him old stories about his life, and he was like, this is what I want in a family, not my crazy parents.
Yeah.
They unfortunately found the grandpa dead in his fishing boat one day.
Oh no.
He was 62 years old and Dennis was 6, and they told him that his grandpa was just sleeping.
Don't do that.
No.
Like, don't.
And Dennis is like, the most vivid memory from childhood I have of him is him lying in his coffin, like me having to see that. Thinking he's sleeping.
That's so traumatic because you'd be like, oh, he's sleeping, but...
Wake up, Papaw.
Yeah. Like, how awful.
Yeah.
Plus, I'm sorry, I don't care how great the Undertaker is.
Yeah.
You still look like a dead body.
Right,
like,
exactly. It was months before Dennis realized that Grandpa was gone.
Oh my gosh. And he's just waiting for him to come back. This is terrible.
Yeah. People were like, probably triggered some psychological issues in Dennis.
And just feeling abandoned. Like, well, if he's just asleep, why wouldn't he wake up and hang out with me again?
Yes, exactly. He kept pigeons. He started, like, keeping pigeons because he just couldn't get attached to people anymore. So that's real sad.
So that's real sad. It's not funny at all, but the way he said
that's real sad. So he decided that he was going to, in 1961, enlist in the British Army. He became a cook. Then he left the Army in 1972. Dennis had lots of random sexual encounters. Men, women, prostitutes is what it says in the article.
Yeah, just sex workers.
That's what the article said. It's the 70s. So he just didn't have the best love life.
Well, he couldn't connect with people, probably.
Right. So I put he was involved in a series of crappy relationships with men that did not share his infatuation. When he left the army, He was just like, I am an angry person. The politics of the army are just stupid and I quit. He returned to the home he grew up in, which is a great idea for him because it's
it was so happy there.
Healthy yeah. life that he had there. Mom had remarried and was living with her second husband, Adam. Dennis was kind of angry with his brother because his brother kept making remarks about how homosexuals are stupid and all these things. And Dennis is just like, I can't do this. I'm never speaking to you again. Goodbye. And peaced out.
Right. Yeah. Right,
yeah. He served briefly as a police officer. When he started working for the police department, he was like, you know what? I'm hoping that I can feel the way that I felt when I was in the army. Like, I liked that structure. I liked that life. I liked being able to, like...
I thought he wanted to quit the army.
Well, he didn't like politics. Oh, but he liked the life he had, the structure gotcha. That he had in the yeah. army.
Lots of routine. Well, that right. makes sense, too, because he probably didn't have much structure right. when he grew up as a kid.
Right. But then he was like, police life sucks. This is nothing like the army. And I just don't like it. During this time, he started becoming a regular at gay bars in the area. Everybody knew him.
Mm-hmm.
He shone a torch one time into a parked car, and he caught a gay couple in the act of love. And
was it love, Kara?
Yeah.
Do we know?
I don't know.
Maybe it wasn't.
Maybe it wasn't.
But maybe it was. Maybe it was very special.
Maybe they loved each other
maybe
a lot.
Maybe it was true. Like,
let's take it from the bar to the car. From the bar to the car.
Yeah, that is it. I can't that's sing any happened. Of those lyrics.
Situation.
Completely. That's, we all know them.
We
just think this is from the bar to the car.
God. I can't stop picturing Betty White on that movie.
Yeah, I know. I love it when she's Ryan. Like chanting around. Yeah. And then Sandra Bullock does it. What's it called? The Intern or
maybe.
The Internship?
Something.
That Sandra Bullock, Ryan. Reynolds.
Movie, Reynolds, yeah.
With Betty White.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it.
Oh, it's so funny.
Just to hear Betty White sing that song alone.
Yeah.
Oh, I love her. Now so I want to watch that movie.
Yes. Okay. He decided.
Wait, what's that say?
The Golden Lion.
The Golden Lion, yeah. Oh, it's the name of one of the gay bars.
Yeah.
The Golden Lion was my high school mascot.
We've talked about Burger House.
The Mighty Torches. The Mighty Torches?
Don't ask.
Kara went to a Christian school.
We were a light for the world.
The Mighty Torches. I mean, it could be worse for sure.
I somehow still got scouted by college.
You could be a volunteer. So. Sorry, Tennessee. The Golden Lion. You know, we talked about Burger House.
Yes.
They have a sandwich called the Golden Lion. That's all. That's what I'm getting
that's
at.
That's amazing.
And also, it's the name of a gay bar that
it is.
Dennis knew of.
He frequented.
Mm-hmm.
He decided that he wasn't going to arrest this couple. Also, why are you trying to arrest them? But it was apparently the law at the time. If you're doing it in the car.
Well, probably because it's like public
indecent exposure. But he had to shine his torch into the car to see. So if you're not shining torches in there, you don't know.
You could probably see the car rocking, Kara.
Okay. Well, this is true.
If it's not let's rocking, discuss.
Don't come let's rocking. So soon after that, he resigned from the police force. Police life turned out to be a little slower than he expected, and it just didn't fit. He just was there for a year. So then he moved north of London. He lived pretty poorly. He just didn't have lots of money. So then he got unemployment. And while he was filing for unemployment, he's offered a job working for the English Civil Service. So he stayed there until he was arrested in 1983. So let's go back to 74, because I know in 83 is when he's arrested. But let's dive into his life here.
So in 74, is he a police officer?
Or? It's when he's working for the Civil Service.
So he just started.
For that interview, and he just started. Because in 73, December of 73, he quit the police force. He was like, peace out. Nobody wants to make love to me in a car. I gotta go.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's his exact words, but
that's true. That's what he said. It's a direct quote. Make love in a car.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Allegedly. He met a man called David Galikin,
mm-hmm.
who decided to come home with him one night.
Oh.
Yeah. They just hit it off, really. Literally hit it off that night.
Did they Mm-hmm. Bang.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of another word for hit that would be sexual, and that's all I come up with.
Banged
They banged it out. That doesn't sound
banged sexual. One out.
Like, no.
Knocked boots. Civil
service boots. That's about rocking, knocking the boots. That is the second time that I have been able to sing that song on this podcast. Thank you.
Love it so much. You're welcome. Okay. So he was like, listen, I've got some romantic feelings for you. And he's like, I think I do too. So let's just live together. Then they started looking for a home.
Wow.
Yeah. They lived in apparently what's one of the most infamous addresses in London, 195 Melrose Avenue.
Is it infamous because of what happens later?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
Everybody stop eating. If you're eating, don't eat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they lived together for about 2 years. They bought a dog. They named him Bleep.
Bleep.
And they tended their gardens together.
Aww.
Yeah.
They took care of each other's garden.
Yeah.
Literally and figuratively.
Exactly. And Nick gave his partner the nickname Twinkle. But then they started not seeing eye to eye. They started bringing home other men and sometimes women.
Together?
No, just whenever they felt like it.
Oh, so they weren't like...
Sometimes they would do it for each other. Then they were like, well, I'm just going to start working more and see if that fills that gap and see if
But they were staying together.
Yeah.
Just 20. Not exclusive.
Right. Okay. Right. So then Dennis is like, I'm going to try to start going back to the bars. And I really like alcohol all of a sudden, too. So,
but he still has the guy living
The guy at the home. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. David.
David.
Well, Twinkle. With Bleep, the dog.
I just love that dog name.
Bleep and Twinkle. Okay, so let's jump towards 1978. Dennis was like in a deep, dark depression. He was spending the holidays alone, so Christmas, he's by himself. When he was younger, he would fantasize a little bit about death due to seeing his grandfather.
Or him and David.
In the casket. So they...
Broken up at this point?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So David's not there anymore. Right. So that's why he's... why is he alone with the holidays?
Oh, yeah. No, sorry. He jumped into the alcohol and, like, threw himself into work. So gotcha. They just, like, kind of went their own ways. He, around that time, went out to what was called the Cricklewood Arms, and he met an 18-year-old Irish laborer, and he couldn't remember the kid's name. And he decided to bring this guy home with him.
Hmm.
And they got super drunk, and he was just like, I love you. I love you a lot, and I want you to be my person.
That night.
Yeah. Wasty pants said
it. Oh, man.
Yeah.
He really needs to be loved and have security mm-hmm. and all the stuff.
Yeah. So he really just started spiraling at that point.
Yeah.
So let's
jump. So how did the boy react?
Oh, no. He didn't like it.
No?
No.
He wasn't. So an 18-year-old boy didn't immediately think, great.
Great. Let me let this man become my lover. So, unfortunately, majority of his victims are either people that he picked up at the bars or homeless individuals.
So, did he kill that boy?
Oh, we'll get there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He just still kept his garden up. So, that was one thing that he did for fun. He had a lot of fertilizer for his garden.
A lot of organic material.
Uh-huh. Yeah, for sure.
Kara.
Yes, Megan.
I have been seeing all over TikTok these hair straighteners. Ever since I got my haircut, I still feel like I'm learning how to do my hair all mm-hmm. over again. Let me tell you, I have found one that works really well. It's from Tymo,
uh-huh.
T-Y-M-O.
Yes.
And it is the company for getting the best type of straightener for everything your hair could possibly need. It's all over social media right now with products from $59.99 to top-of-the-line straighteners. Each of their products are built to last and have so many options for whatever your hair needs are. So Kara and I received a couple of the products.
Oh my
we got
gosh.
A so straightener exciting. And a blow dryer. Yeah. So I'm going to talk about the straightener because that's the one that I have used. It has a cordless design, which makes it so handy.
You traveled with it.
Yes. So it's great for getting a good hair reset on the go because it's so portable and convenient. It's called the Porta. It has this 3D comb design, which is enhanced by cutting edge MCH anionic technology. So you brush it through your hair, it straightens as it goes, and it pushes against this ceramic plate that gives a frictionless glide that promises to curb frizz by 50%. And I have totally seen that because my hair gets frizzy and this just really smooths it out. I really loved it.
Okay, so I got the air hype. I'm obsessed with it. I have just like naturally
curly, wavy hair. So it was a huge game changer for me. It dries your hair in half the normal time and it keeps your hair safe and shiny, which I noticed immediately. Mm-hmm. I didn't even need to straighten it afterwards. And usually I do because usually I have all those wild like curls left over. Yeah. The wind power on this thing is intense. It's wild. Like I turned it up. I was like, let's play with these buttons. Okay. So it has 3 magnetic styling attachments. They're all amazing. You know how some blow dryers you get are like if you go to a hotel and there's a diffuser and you're like, oh my gosh, this is like tearing my hair to pieces and it's right. going to be so tangled. Not with this one.
Nice.
And it's magnetic. So it's great.
So right now, you guys, our listeners can get 30% off their first order at TYMOBeauty.com. TYMOBeauty.com. Using the code WMM30. So that's just 2 M. So you guys know our codes usually have 3. So just keep that in mind.
So with so many great products to choose from, now's the time to upgrade your styling and curling kit. So go to TYMOBeauty.com and use the code WMM30 for 30% off your first purchase.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Summer is the season of hot temperatures, outdoor adventures, and refreshing water activities. Summer is also the season of rough on your feet, causing dry, cracked heels and toes. Introducing Babyfoot, the original exfoliation foot peel that contains 16 natural extracts formulated to remove dead skin cells in 3 easy steps. Apply the booties, relax for an hour, then wash your feet. In 14 days, you've got baby smooth skin and your feet have never been softer. Letting dead skin cells build up over time is hazardous to your foot health. Our professional-grade DIY products, like our original exfoliation foot peel, our men's foot peel, or our moisturizing mask, are some of the best foot care products on the market. Created with your foot health in mind. Pamper yourself with a spa day from the comfort and convenience of your own home with Babyfoot. If you want a chemical-free, easy-to-use exfoliating process from the company that created the original foot peel, it's time to treat yourself to Babyfoot. Go to babyfoot.com and use the code SUMMERFEET24 and get 20% off your first order with Babyfoot. That's babyfoot.com and use the code SUMMERFEET24.
So let's hop to 1981.
He decides that he's going to move to an upstairs flat.
He just
in the same building?
Yeah. So he keeps his garden and whatnot.
Well, that was my question.
Right. Yeah. But during his killings, and we'll go into the victims in a minute, he just started finding it really hard to dispose of things while he was upstairs.
Yeah.
He started storing stuff in places in his house, like suitcases, put stuff in his wardrobe. Plastic bags under the floorboards.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. And neighbors were like...
Yeah, I was like, there would still be a smell.
What's that coming from above us?
Oh, God. Why did he move upstairs, I wonder? That seems like just poor planning.
Yeah.
So, or maybe you'll get to this, but I guess I'm just like, so did he just go out to the bars and pick up guys and bring them home and then they would like never be seen again?
Yeah. Well, I remember he's infatuated with dead bodies, too. But the way he was caught, Megan, is because somebody called about some clogged drains in the complex and a company came out to unblock the sewer system. And they're like, what's this fleshy substance in here?
Oh, no.
So then the company's like, ring, 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 police department. We found some things you might be interested in.
And, you know, if you work that kind of job, you've seen some pretty disgusting things anyway.
Oh.
But this can't be.
So, when he got home that day after the pipe incident, he gets home from work and he's walking into the building and he's like, huh, who are these people? He asks some neighbors and they're like, they're here to inspect the drains. And he's like, sounds good. And then he's like, why are the police interested in the drains? I thought somebody was just here to clean them. And they're like, well, there's also health inspectors here. Why? And then the inspectors and the health department were wandering up the stairs because they were like, well, we also got the smell complaint. So I guess we might as well kill 2 birds with 1 stone. His pigeons.
Great callback joke. Excellent. Wow.
And then they were like, huh, it does smell a bit rotten, fleshy up here. So we're going to just investigate that. Nelson's like, well, why are you up here? And they were like, well, drains are covered in human remains, sir. We got to look into this a little more.
So they,
and he was like, good grief, how awful is his quote to the police. Good grief, how awful.
What did they find in the drains, though?
Flesh.
Just skin?
And like human skin and what looked like chicken.
Stop. Nope.
Yeah, nope. You asked.
I did. That was my mistake.
But he said, good grief, how awful. And then they're like, sir, you're under arrest because we found some plastic bags in your wardrobe. He's like, oh, you found those, did you?
Did he not smell it? I mean, okay. I mean, you're going to get to the murders, I guess. I keep wanting to be like, what happened?
So on the way to the police station, they asked him, like, how many bodies are we talking about? Because we just found, like, fleshy substance and then this random thing in the wardrobe. And he's like, oh, about 15 or 16.
Just in the house? Just in his apartment?
Yeah, that he murdered there.
Not including 15 or 16 that he murdered. Yeah. So some of them might be in the garden.
Yeah, they're just throughout. Mm-hmm.
What was in the bag?
Oh, just bones and body parts. And
don't compare it to food.
Yeah, no. When he was arrested, he's apologizing to the police. And he's like, I'm sorry for not being able to tell you exact numbers of how many I've killed. I don't know. But when they searched the house, they found 3 heads in a cupboard. 13 more bodies in his former place of residence.
Like under the floorboards
or something? Yeah, all over. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's why he had to move.
But the people who moved in didn't smell anything?
He was really good at hiding it, I guess.
I guess.
Until those sinks got clogged.
What did he do? Try to flush stuff down the toilet?
And shove things down the drain.
Why?
I don't know.
What are you doing? What is wrong with you?
Yeah, exactly.
What?
So his first murder was December 1978. He strangled them with a necktie. Person was unconscious, then he drowned him. He was only 14 at the time.
So this was before the 18-year-old guy he brought home.
Yeah, it was. And then between this one and the second one, he attempted to murder a student from Hong Kong that he met. And the student decided not to prosecute. That he gets arrested, but then they like let him go because the student's like, forget about it.
Did he pick him up at a gay bar?
Yeah.
So I wonder if it was something to do with the student didn't want to be publicly outed.
Yeah.
I mean, they were much more accepting of homosexuality, but there are still issues. Remember, we've done stories before about it was better there than here, but not still not great.
No. Second victim, December. He loves December. 1979, Canadian student. He strangled them during their sexual interactions. And this is one of the few people who was reported as a missing person.
Mm.
And they just never found him. The third 16-year-old homeless boy, May 1980, he accepted an invitation to come over and hang out with Dennis. And then he was once again strangled and drowned in the kitchen sink. He, for some reason, that was his move. Then there's a male sex worker from Scotland, and he said, I don't remember how I murdered this one, but pretty sure I strangled him. Pretty sure. The fifth victim, another male sex worker that they couldn't identify, and they said he was either from the Philippines or Thailand. And then the sixth one, Dennis really didn't remember much about this one or the next one. All he said he could remember that he just was young and Irish, and he met him at a bar. And then this one, the number 7, was what Dennis described as a starving hippie type he found sleeping in a doorway. He had no idea what his 8th victim was doing when he found them. Can't remember anything about them. And then 9 and 10, he said they were Scottish men that he picked up in pubs. 11, he said he picked up at a circus and he had a tattoo around his neck that said, cut here. And he liked to fight, but once he was drunk, Dennis hung him up in his bedroom for 24 hours and then buried him in his floorboards. Between the 6th and 11th murders, like between that time frame, there was a potential victim that woke up while he was being strangled and was able to fight Dennis. And then they called the police, but then the police didn't do anything. They considered it to be a domestic disagreement between 2 homosexual lovers, is what they said. Yeah. The 12th was a man named Mark Malcolm. He was murdered September 18th, 1981. Dennis found him in a doorway not far from his home. Took him in, called an ambulance for him. When he sent him home the next day, he came back to Dennis's house to thank him. And then Dennis murdered him.
Oh, so Dennis got him help.
And then when he showed back up, Dennis was like, your mistake.
Weird. That's really weird.
Mm-hmm. Then October 1981, he met a student in a bar and invited him back to his home. The student woke up, had no idea what had happened the night before, and had like these crazy bruises around his neck. And he was like, I'm going to go to the doctor. And the doctor's like, you've been strangled. Go to the police. And he's like, I can't prosecute this. So I'm not going to. He didn't want anybody to know that he was gay. And so he was just like.
Isn't it awful that we've, as a society, put homosexual people in the position where someone has tried to murder them.
Right.
But they are more afraid of
somebody finding out their sexual orientation.
God, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Murder 13. John Howlett was the first to be murdered in that new home.
The upstairs.
Yeah. John, though, was able to fight back at first. And then Dennis was like, I can't stand you. You're going to die. Like, you have to die. They struggle for a bit. Then John tried to strangle Dennis, but then Dennis drowned John.
Oh.
And he held his head underwater for 5 minutes.
I mean, Dennis must have been very strong.
This is one of the bodies that ended up in the pipes, partly because he tried to flush some of the parts.
I just don't even understand why you would think that that would be possible.
Yeah.
Like, why would you flush anything?
Right.
Related to this.
Yeah, exactly. There's another homeless gentleman, Graham Allen, and Dennis obviously murdered him. But he left his body in the bathtub because he was like, I don't know what to do with this. I've got a lot of bodies going around here. I can't remember where I put some of them. Like, this is getting messy. So he sat there in the bathtub for 3 days and he's like, you know what? I'm going to just take them apart and see what I can flush, what I can shove down the drains, see what I can do with them. Then Dennis's 15th victim, remember, he was like, there's 15, 16, maybe. I don't remember. Was a drug addict, Stephen Sinclair. They met in Oxford Street and Dennis gave Stephen a hamburger. He was like, let's go back to my place. They drank a bunch of alcohol and then they were like, let's do some heroin.
Mm.
What goes better with a cheeseburger? Heroin.
Good Lord.
Dennis, when he was like sober enough, strangled Stephen.
Once again, took apart his body because he's like, I have too many body parts.
Yeah,
like,
he's running out of room.
I got to like make things smaller. Yeah. And this is the death that alerted the plumbing inspectors to come take a look.
Yeah.
So he's been arrested, obviously. They brought him to trial at the Old Bailey on October 24th, 1983. He said he pleaded diminished responsibility as a defense.
What?
Yeah. So he was sentenced to life imprisonment on November 4th, 1983. Then they were like, you get 25 years, bud. He was never going to be released. So in 2006, he was like, I want parole. Like, this is annoying, guys. I'm not going to do anything.
Turns out prison's not great.
Sucks. Yeah, it's not what I thought it was going to be. Can't kill anybody in here. But they obviously denied it. They said that he was a thorn in prison authorities' sides. He passed away in prison. They said that he spent his final hours in his cell in excruciating pain with internal bleeding.
What happened?
He was admitted to the hospital with abdominal pains, and they gave him an operation, and then he had a blood clot. And so they had, like, taken him back to prison, but he refused to go back to the hospital to treat the blood clot. They were like, you know, we'll take you. And he's like, no, let me suffer here.
Mm.
And then they say his cause of death was a pulmonary embolism, retroperitoneal hemorrhage.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. It was a ruptured aneurysm.
Oh, I see. Yeah. A ruptured abdominal aortic aneurysm.
Mm-hmm.
So then that caused the retroperitoneal hemorrhage.
Yeah.
And a pulmonary embolism.
Right.
Wow. Yeah. That would have been
They a said painful that death. He rejected all medical treatment. So he laid there for like 2.5 hours, like struggling in like this excruciating pain.
I wonder why he rejected.
I don't know.
Maybe because he knew he wasn't going to get out of prison. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Man.
He was a mess.
That's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Well, also, is it? Because he sounds pretty terrible.
Oh, one of the other details that I was like, do I want to put this in here? Do I not want to put this in here? He was so obsessed with dead bodies that sometimes when he didn't have dead bodies around, he would paint his body white and then paint his lips blue and then play with himself in the mirror because he wanted to pretend he was playing with a dead person.
Well, I have nothing to say to that.
Yeah. I was like, wow. What?
So why did they call him the British Jeffrey Dahmer?
Take care of your problems. I guess he was chopping people up and doing things to them.
But not eating?
No. Didn't Jeffrey Dahmer chop people up? And
I guess I just think of Dahmer as eating people. Yeah. I don't know.
I can't get over the like COVID jokes, the memes about Jeffrey Dahmer. Like, no more handshakes. And Jeffrey Dahmer staring at his blender.
Oh, gross. Terrible.
So gross.
Yeah, gosh, what a terrible life.
Yeah.
It's people like that. And, you know, we've talked about several awful people on this podcast, but it's just like, what?
Where'd you go
from? A waste, though. Yeah.
What you doing?
Yeah.
Like, he loved the structure of the military, but just...
Yeah, maybe if he could have stayed in the military. But it seems like there were a lot of things that went wrong in his life.
Oh, yeah.
So, who knows if that would have helped
anything. No, I don't know that it would
have. He may have just figured out a different way to kill a bunch of people.
And he always just blamed it on his mom for showing him his deceased grandfather's body in the casket.
Okay, to an extent.
Kickstarted it.
I also don't think you can blame his mom for anything. But it's like, it's not just that he could murder them. Mm-hmm. It's also that he was able to dismember them. He was able to try to put them down the drain.
Keep them in a bathtub for days.
They could be in the house hanging in his bedroom.
Yeah.
I mean, there's more to it than just the killing. There's way more things that should have clicked in his brain as like, I can't handle this as a human being. I can't handle it.
No, he's like, this is great. Let me see if I can do 15
or 16
There was
definitely something missing in his head. So, all right. Well, I hope you all paid attention to the trigger warning at the beginning.
Yes.
Yeah. Kara.
Megan.
Before we wrap this up,
mm-hmm.
it is time to do some Patreon shout outs. So if you are on the Body of a Goddess or Janet level of our Patreon, one of the side effects, one of the perks
I like that better.
Is that you get a shout out on the show.
Yes.
So you want to run through these?
Yep. Let's do it.
Okay. Debbie Martin.
Belinda Tubbs.
Christina Lemus Spencer.
Courtney King.
Dagna Fusco.
Courtney Lopez.
Echo Snigowski. Mm-hmm. Sounds like Mike Wazowski.
Sadie Bratos.
Rhonda Massey.
Heather Darby DeMarco.
Harvey Quinn.
Luciana Quaranta?
Mm-hmm. I'm sure.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Van Lischout.
Angie Sivens?
Hi, Angie. Thank you for
putting up with that. Good last names.
Courtney Shipley.
Hillary Arts.
Whitney Connor.
Arky. Arts. I'm still stuck on that. Marissa Watson.
Rachel Wetzel.
Catherine W.
Ashley Larson.
Jason H.
Emily Elaine Hughes.
Amber Alexander.
And Rebecca Risner.
You all, those last names are doozy, and we're really good at them. So. Yeah.
Thank you all for joining the Patreon.
Yes.
We appreciate you so much.
Yeah, we really do.
Yeah. Actually, you're getting an extra bonus episode this month. You're going to hear about that next Tuesday.
Right.
Okay. We love you
so much.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.